Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
Today, we're talking tech and just about everything running with our pal, Kieran Alger.
How are you, Rick?
I'm well, thank you. I had a go at running my best mile in tribute to the great Sir Roger Bannister, because obviously he set his sub-4-minute mile on 6th of May, so yes. Last week. So I had a bash on the same day.
Good.
Around the Dulwich 300-metre track, which where I've been finding myself with increased regularity. And my wife, Georgie, was on the stopwatch, and I managed to do 5:04. It was really hard, mate. I'll be honest, it was really hard.
Well, fair play, mate. 5:04 is going some.
Yeah, I was definitely scaring a few of the less, let's say, the more moderate runners around the track. And there were these three kids who were on a bike.
You just like powering through.
Yeah, so like the first couple of laps, like I wasn't sort of like noticeably kind of like wheezing. But then these three kids who were like probably like 14, right. 14, 15, they were like cycling on the track, sort of like meandering around. And I definitely scared them on the last lap when I was like, get out of the way. And I was sort of almost keeling over, and they were just like, who's this bizarre
what is
bloke?
This
like, what is he
doing?
You know, on his own, running himself to death. But it was good. I mean, actually, it was good to try to, yeah, just to do an all-out effort. And the actual, you know, it's always a bit of a shock, isn't it, when you kind of push yourself that hard. But yeah, it made me think that actually sub-5 is on the right day. I'm not a million miles away from it.
Yeah, mate. Well, this has been a long time coming, really. This was your challenge before the start of this year, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, it was. And this is the first sort of time I've had a go at it. So I think, yeah, maybe actually, you know what? I think we're going to talk about racing and running later on. But I think in a kind of more of a race scenario, certainly with someone to run with or against, is you'd hope that you could certainly knock a couple of seconds off.
Yeah, yeah,
in,
good.
In that kind of, but yeah, that's been me, mate. How about you? How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Yeah, absolutely. I think probably a touch confused about future plans for the nation. But it was good to hear that active commuting is being encouraged now as a government-led thing, that, you know, walking and cycling to work, and obviously from our point of view that includes running, has been encouraged. So that's a hugely positive step, I think, for, you know, to hear from the top down that's how people should consider the return to the workplace. Exercise is now unlimited, so that's also a bizarre sentiment. I'm not sure who has unlimited time as a thing, but you know, maybe this will be the end of the garden marathon, you know, the phenomenon that has been birthed by COVID lockdown.
Maybe it's going to move into to sort of ultras now that it's kind of unlimited. It is weird though, isn't it? Because I know that sort of an hour of exercise was what was being encouraged, but I'm not sure that was actually, that wasn't a mandatory government, you know, enforced thing, was it?
No.
It was a kind of suggestion.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There was all just, it's because, yeah, everything was just a suggestion of like, and obviously people have been off doing longer than an hour. I've been out on my bike and I've ridden longer than an hour. Not that much longer, but I certainly have. And, you know, that was you were kind of, you know, keeping it sensible and not, you know, not going busy places, and I think that's fine. But unlimited is a, you know, I think there's a risk that people might overdo it, you know.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think you feel like all the kind of shackles are off, and now you can just go off on your 12-hour run. But well, you're right. Like I say, like who's actually got unlimited time? That's actually the limiting factor, isn't it? As opposed to
I think it's sort of more like you can go out twice a day if you wanted to.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So that's maybe, you know, more of the thing that was meant. But yeah, I mean, aside from, you know, this is what, week, I don't know, 9 of this happening? 8? I've lost track. Sort of getting a bit, sort of, familiarity doesn't really make it any better. I'd say it's probably my current stance. Something that I wanted to bring to the etiquette table, because you know how we're champions of running etiquette, which is a position we should absolutely not be in. But we like to bring it up, and one that a previous hot topic that we've discussed in the past, and that's the use of headphones with running in conjunction with running. The use of headphones. We've talked about it in terms of races, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to say that in the current climate of social distancing, headphones and running are not a great combo.
Oh yeah, you're preaching to the converted with me on that, Benny. I think. We're talking about, you know, being aware. It's kind of awareness is what's required, isn't it? In kind of shared public space. And you put headphones in, you're dulling a sense, aren't you? You're dulling your hearing and you're just less aware. And I think, like, yeah, I actually think it should be discouraged. I know some people, I've got loads of mates who are like, I just can't run a step unless I've got, you know, some soundtrack blasted. And like, I've never been like that. So I guess I'm not as sympathetic to that as some people would be.
Having lived in both camps, I can say that there is nothing. There is the motivating power of music is absolutely there. Like if you're possibly new to running, and you know it helps you get out the door and to, you know, keeps you motivated. Then obviously we can't discourage things like that. But keep the if you have to run with it, just keep the volume really low or something. I just find it. It's really difficult to sort of be compassionate towards a runner who's oblivious to their surroundings because they're listening to music whilst running along, and you're trying to sort of get by, keep 2 meters whilst not interfere with them and any other people around you. And they're just, it's just, I just, you know, for sure enjoy it when you can, but I'm just, it's beginning to irk me, I'd say.
Yeah, and I think also just the actual safety of the runner. Like, I think on the very few occasions that I've run with music, I have noticed that actually you're less aware of, like, a car coming up or a cycle or someone on a bike coming behind you. So I think actually you can potentially put yourself at risk as well, but just by not being, as aware as you would be if you had, you know, full hearing.
If we were going to go super cautionary tale, you know, don't be a burden to anyone, don't have headphones because you're just adding an element of risk, I suppose, is probably the sort of super with, you know, what's the phrase, with kid gloves? Is that the phrase?
Or being handled with kid gloves.
Yeah, something like that, you know, being super cautious about it. If you're going to be super, super cautious about what your personal safety, then I would not recommend.
Well, I say, on a more positive note, I think one of the things that the lockdown has done for people is that it's been more going around exploring their local areas more. And I have been falling in love a little bit with the Capital Ring. So the Capital Ring is that it's a 70-mile circular route, and it kind of goes around, I'd say, like between zone 2 and 3 of London. And lots of people have cycled or walked it all, but it's got a lot of things going for it because it's very green, it's pretty quiet, and it's signposted as well. So I've been doing most of my Sunday long runs have been sort of along almost all on the Capital Ring or taken in sections of it, and ended up in Beckenham Place Park on Sunday, which is got this new lake that's meant to be opened up for open water swimming, but obviously it's just shut at the minute. But it was it was very nice. The little green spaces in and around me, I've appreciated it more than ever, actually. And I think, yeah, from what I've heard from other runners, that seems to be a real theme, people being more imaginative and kind of exploring yeah, places where they live. And I think we probably don't do that enough, really, as a rule.
Yeah, oh, mate, I'm with you on this for sure. I've been discovering some excellent bridleways and footpaths local to me, mainly through the OS Maps app, to which I am a yearly subscriber. That is not an advert.
Oh.
I pay for that because it's great. Honestly, I mean, it's just, I've used it to really find little bits of the countryside around by me where I wouldn't have, I mean, I've sort of maybe glanced at on a bike ride before and gone, oh, that looks quite interesting down there, or run along a footpath that's deviated and I've just gone, oh no, I'll stick to the loop that I know. And you have a quick look on the app and you realise, oh wow, look, this is, and it looks, some of it looks completely untrodden, which is great in this time. You feel like you're getting away from as many people as possible. And when I've done a longer route through these bridleways and stuff, you might bump into a few people here and there, but they're kind of, I think they're the sort of the people of a similar mindset to you, perhaps. They're just, you know, that extra level of exploring. So there's no sort of, everyone understands why they're in that position, I guess. So yeah, it's been really good. I think I actively encourage everyone to maybe rediscover some old footpaths.
And we've received a few letters, Ben, as well, haven't we?
Yeah.
So a very nice one from Julia Donovan. This is quite a tale. So she said, I wanted to share my recent experience of giving birth during the COVID-19 lockdown. She said, during my pregnancy, I experienced complications halfway through and was told to stop running. This massively affected me mentally, as running is a huge part of my life. Before going into hospital to have the baby, I received my copy of the May Mental Health Issue. That's one with Kelly Holmes. Dame Kelly Holmes on the front cover. Said, I read every article and finished the magazine while I was in hospital and recovering from a more traumatic birth. I even inspired one of the midwives to take up running as I was chatting to her between contractions.
Fantastic.
So your magazine with inspiring articles helped me through a very lonely, tough time. I'm now looking forward to my running, to my return to running, and more top tips and inspiring articles once my next issue arrives. She also sent in a picture of a new baby Adam, who was doing a kind of Superman pose next to Runner's World, which I think was a kind of sign of approval, I hope.
I mean, in baby language, that's high.
That's
high,
sure,
up there, right? Yeah, it's all sorts of Superman.
But it was nice, yeah. Very, very nice letter, and yeah, lovely to hear that people have been enjoying the issue, particularly in sort of very trying circumstances like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. No, we've had some, it's really nice to get letters, actually. I mean, we say letters, these are emails. Letters makes it, you know, people aren't breaking out the quill at but no, we had a really nice one from Robert Kerr, who's as chairman of our running club, the Olchester Running Club in Oxfordshire, I was approached by the local county council to see if our running club would be interested in delivering medicines from Bicester pharmacies to patients unable to collect themselves. And I thought this would be a good fit for the running club. So he contacted the committee and had immediate support. They're a small club of 125 members, and 54 signed up to the WhatsApp group. And on a daily basis, they're sent requests from Cherwell District Council. And I offer the bare details, i.e. which pharmacy and approximate address and response time. And the longest distance has been an 18.2-mile delivery.
Wow.
Which is, so a 9.1 there and back. And they're now, you know, they've now completed their 100th drop. So there's medicine by running. Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah, that is brilliant. That is brilliant, yeah. It's a really innovative way of using running for good. I guess a little bit like what good gym do, isn't it? It's kind of using exercise to do social good.
No, it's a lovely touch. That's a very good, I think maybe that's one for other councils and perhaps people to sort of pick up on. And take forward what people are doing from that point of view. It's great.
Tell you what, Ben, I think it's time we got our guest of the week on.
Fantastic idea. Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete. Could be a physio. Or a complete unknown.
Kieran Alger, welcome back to the Runner's World podcast.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing, guys?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, very well.
Ben tells me he's not under the blanket this week for recording, which is disappointing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm really worried that there's going to be a significant degree of echo to my recording this time. I've really let everyone down I haven't set up some sort of weird recording chamber this time around. But, you know, I'm what what's lacking in my recording quality will be made up in you dazzling us with technology chat.
Yeah, exactly. I'll bring the tech. Although I do think you've set the benchmark now for recording studios around the world. Once they see this setup, there's going to be people asking you for the kit.
I was saying, Kim, that obviously you're talking tech, but you're also our guest of the week. So you've got a double life this week in this episode.
I feel very honoured.
So we could also talk about what broader stuff. And I know that we talked off mic about running without racing and whether running has meaning, I guess, without races. What's been your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was, like a lot of people, I was sort of geared up to do quite a number of races this year. I had the Tokyo Marathon, was going to do London Marathon, and I would normally do maybe 5 marathons a year, a couple of ultras, and then, a load of halves on the way to those races. And now all of those have gone. It's given me a little bit of time to sort of reconsider. And I think it's definitely, being able to just go out and run freely without having people sort of either chasing you or feeling like you're chasing somebody has been a bit of a revelation for me, actually. So in the 10 years that I've been running, I've always had races on the calendar. And I've really enjoyed running pressure-free, actually, and getting out of that loop of training, racing, training, racing, training, racing. And yeah, I think it's been a bit of a gear change, but a real revelation. Like, I've really enjoyed being able to set my own terms of sort of success or failure in a way. And I think, I don't know if everyone else is sort of feeling that as well, but it's given running a different sort of meaning to me, just being essentially just running for happiness.
Has it changed? Do you feel like you're still running in a way that is similar to how you would train for a race, as in like you're doing shorter, quicker stuff, longer, slower stuff, or has it had an effect on actually how quickly you're running?
No, I've flipped it the other way, because I would be doing that kind of mix of, a long run on Sunday and then doing faster interval stuff that a lot of people will do for marathon training, but I've just gone to really low and slow. I'm using heart rate, I'm trying to keep my heart rate down below sort of 130, 140, and really just go out and sort of enjoy myself and plod around and get my head up and look around. I've almost taken it as an opportunity by accident to work on that, real sort of low base, which I never really did. I was always quite a high intensity, and I was probably guilty of making that mistake a lot of other runners do, where you run in those sort of middle dead zone runs for quite a lot of miles. It's been really cool, because I can, halfway through a run, I'll happily now stop for a bit, sit on a bench or just take a moment somewhere where it's quiet and there's no one around. I should say I'm very lucky where I am running at the moment, because I'm in the New Forest and I can disappear and not see anyone for quite a long time. So when I say sit on a bench, I'm not in Hackney. And yeah, it's definitely changed my approach to training right now. And it'll be interesting to see whether that remains after we're through all of this. But I've taken it as an opportunity to do something very different. And it's been really freeing and I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, because I think of you as someone who did race a lot. You were racing kind of probably more than, you probably had more than 10 races a year probably, right?
Yeah, easily. And I don't know, I don't really know why when I think about it now. I was sort of, before I came on, I was thinking, is it for the medals? Is it for the event? There's definitely something about that buzz and the atmosphere and being in an environment that's sort of safe and supported. And then there's the medal. But, I, having gone out and run, I ran a 13 miles on the weekend and I didn't feel like I needed a medal at the end of it. And I still felt sort of rewarded for having done it.
I think it's a sort of combination of two things. I think that firstly, the situation has allowed everyone to sort of be very basic about their approach to stuff because it's all that they can manage. So obviously, when you're sort of like restricted or you're placed under a circumstance where life is no longer as you would normally expect it to be, I think the being allowed to do the one thing that you find hugely rewarding is enough. So straight away, you're just like, oh, do you know what? Like before, I'd really fret about a training plan for a race day because that's kind of how running had become. But now running is like, I'm allowed to escape from everything for a little bit. That's fantastic. Like I feel genuinely, I like can't, I can't. The idea of a race being important now feels really, really bizarre. Not to say that I wouldn't ever want to go back and do a race, because you definitely would, because when things go back to normal, in inverted commas, that would be something that you would love, because the atmosphere, the people, all the things that make a race day fantastic is, you know, one of the things that you do. But I think that it kind of, it strips it bare for you, really. You can just see that the benefit of running is it helps you feel better. It takes you away from a terrible situation for a little bit. It offers reprieve from stress. You kind of already, like, all the pluses become completely holistic, really, rather than sort of like race orientated.
Yeah, I think also I'm a bit like Kieran in that I've enjoyed not having a race kind of looming over. But I do think that if you think that you need races to motivate you and stuff, that it's kind of part of a narrative that is almost like you're getting some of these sessions done. They're not, you know, they're not enjoyable. This isn't meant to be. This isn't enjoyable stuff. This is about, you know, getting in shape and all the rest of it. And actually, I think that I like all aspects of running, actually, and I think I'm happy to train fairly hard as well, just for the joy of it. It ultimately is a hobby. It's something that we do in our spare time, isn't it? And actually, I think sort of buying into this narrative of like, oh well, without a race to motivate me, you know, what's the point? I really don't buy into that at all. I think actually, well, there's so much more to running and training hard than a medal or a time. This is actually, all of it is kind of rewarding in itself.
I think as well, if you look at, it's really interesting seeing everyone who's found running during this time as well, new runners, and talking to my friends who've all just started taking it up. In their brain isn't going, cool, I found running, what can I do next? I know, I want to race. They're thinking, cool, I found running, this is really helping me. Like that in itself just is kind of like, it immediately makes me go, oh, right, yeah, of course, that's like the best way of seeing this, isn't it? Not that I'm missing something, but that I've just gained something.
Yeah, and I was kind of maybe in the mindset that I used races as my points in the year for motivation, to anchor my training around, and without that, I would feel sort of rudderless and maybe I wouldn't be able to train as much, but actually, I'm changing that opinion now, and I think that, you know, there's something really, really nice about being able to flex your goals on the day, whether that's in the morning before you go for the run or even mid-run. So I've been out for runs where I've just decided sort of halfway, that's it, I've had enough, I'm going to go home now. I've really enjoyed being out. I'm tired. I feel fulfilled. I'm going to go back. I don't now need to push on that extra sort of 6 miles. And I think that's it's a really nice thing to feel, and actually it gives you more control over your overall sort of enjoyment of the run. And that, yeah, that, I don't know, there's just something about losing that pressure that's really nice. It makes me also wonder about, so there's been obviously a rise in sort of people virtual racing right now, so doing the distances and getting the medals, and how much emphasis is put on those medals. Do you need them? You know, does it count? If you've gone and run a 26.2, and you know you haven't picked up a medal for it, is it still a marathon? Does it still count? And for me, absolutely. And I'm really enjoying that. And actually, yeah, you know, if you go and do your half marathon distance or your 10K, and actually get to the end of it, sometimes if you're in a race, you'll stop and go home. Now you can just go on a bit if you feel like it. Or, you know, I think another thing that people, when you're in that mode of training, the idea of stopping and walking or slowing right down goes against the grain. You're always trying to hit some kind of target of time or distance and a goal. And there's something really pleasant about feeling free enough, if you've got a bag on your back, to stop and maybe eat something and look around and then just run again. You know, it's a very different experience.
What role is technology playing, Kieran, in this? Because I think that in some ways, being a kind of slave to, or to be aware, being very aware of like your splits and how far you've run, etc., if you, by looking, you know, by having technology on your wrist or whatever, is does kind of discourage a slightly more kind of hippie-ish view of running and kind of chilling out when you want. Are you finding that's at odds at all with your love of technology? Have you had to dial that bit bit down, or does it, has that not mattered at all?
Not necessarily, because I guess I'm just using it to try and free me in a different way. So I think one of the, it's almost like I'm using it as a limiter now. So I'll look at my heart rate, and you know, it's an approximation, so I'm using wrist-based heart rate, and I'm just trying to keep it under that sort of heart rate zone. And that means that I'm running in a way that I can probably go longer. It's less intense. I'm enjoying it more. There is a lot less pressure because you're not busting a gut. And so I'm using the technology almost to give me the freedom to run longer. So I'll just have it at the moment. I'll set my watch to have one number on the screen, and that's my heart rate. I'll ignore the kind of splits and the overall distance, and I'm kind of running until I either run out of gas or I need to be back. You know, it's so I'm sort of using it in a way that can support that idea rather than sort of encroach on it.
I mean, the fact that you're not wearing a chest strap speaks volumes, mate.
It's a big change. Although I did go out with four watches and a foot pod and a chest strap the other day whilst I was testing some gear. So,
all right, so fine, good. Just to reassure everyone that you're still doing mental things.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You talked about how you are now freeing yourself up, and we're going to get into a bit of chat about a watch particularly that you've been looking at. But I wanted to touch on something. Is that you set off very early in the morning the other day, and you ran a 45-mile ultra as part of your testing process. And I think I saw that you commented it was probably one of the best runs you've ever had.
Yeah, it was magic. It was crazy, and it was magic. And again, I just have to sort of say I'm in the middle of nowhere, so I can run without seeing anyone here. And I decided that I would get up. I got up at 2:30. I left the house at 3:45 and I ran to see the sunrise primarily. I wanted to test the watch, but also I had this idea that I would like to go and run and see the sun come up in the New Forest. And so I went out and I'd sort of set myself the idea that I'd run for 9 or 10 hours. But if I wanted to stop, I could stop, you know, and it was, and I just went out and I didn't really know exactly where I was going. I just went on a little sort of run of discovery. I was never really far from the place that I knew, but I did find myself getting lost in part of the forest for, you know, 30 miles or so. And it was completely liberating doing an ultra run of that distance. I've normally only done that distance in a race. In fact, I've only ever done it in a race. And there's something about being chased or chasing people in front. You sort of normally, I would find myself locking onto people and trying to catch them in ultras, or when you're tired and people are passing you, it's a very negative feeling. And you're constantly aware of cutoffs, and you've got to get to the end, and the day can feel very long. And this run was just me. I circled back at the marathon distance to my house, where I restocked, changed my t-shirt and went back out. And it was just entirely liberating to know you could stop when you wanted to stop.
Yeah.
Go as long as you wanted to go, walk, enjoy the environment, sit on a tree stump and eat something out of your backpack. And it's made me wonder whether or not I will, in terms of ultras, go back to doing full race ultras, or whether I just, you know, there's a And if my objective is to run 100 miles, maybe that I would just like to go and run that 100 miles on my own.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds great.
It does sound great. It reminds me a little bit of my friend and I, this guy George. We used to try to run the distance of our birthday. So he turned 37 last year, and we on the North Downs Way did 37 miles on North Downs Way. And again, it was a lovely day, and it was just completely pressure free. It was like, oh, we'll just try and cover 37 miles at whatever pace. It was actually half. It was probably a walk. In fairness. But it has the same sort of appeal of this kind of DIY, fairly structureless thing. We had an idea, obviously, of the amount of miles we had to cover, but beyond that, nothing really mattered. And actually, every bit as enjoyable as long races I've done, completely, and felt just as meaningful as well, without any of the kind of apparatus that an organised race presents. You know, we had a pint at the end. There was no medal, but that was fine. It's still legitimate, and it still kind of felt like it kind of counted.
You still get the happy chemicals released, you know, and I didn't feel like I needed a medal at the end of that. It was an achievement. And it really interesting, there's another way to look at this as well, because you're on your own, or, you know, I think actually there's obviously a good idea to do this in maybe with two or three other runners. Your limiter really is water and your availability of water. That's one thing that limits you. But because you're doing it like that, unsupported, it's actually sort of even more rewarding in some ways, because you've had to overcome slightly different elements, and you know you are sort of battling against a different challenge, which is just as rewarding as doing it with lots of other people and picking up a medal at the end.
Yeah, I mean the running battle is always primarily against yourself, isn't it? Like, regardless of in a race scenario, yeah, you're probably chasing people now and again, but it's always you against your head. So I kind of feel like you take the other people out of the situation, you're still going to get all the benefits of a kind of a race scenario, because it's like, oh, this bit's hard, but I've got to keep going, or I'm elated because I feel fantastic. It's all those sorts of things as well that go on in your brain when you're running. So, you know, I think that it's nice. I think everyone is probably enjoying the hiatus from racing. Perhaps not everyone, most people.
I wasn't entirely alone, by the way. There were lots of New Forest ponies and deer and things that, when my head torch caught their beady eyes, I wasn't sure how big they were or how far away they were, whether they would eat me or not. So
no, that's great. Well, should we talk a little bit about tech then? We've talked about kind of I'm not going to call it anti-technology, but that feels like the natural world and returning to something very simple. But presumably you're still trying out some tech.
Yeah, and on that long run, actually, my primary motivation was to take a new watch called the Polar Grit X out and test it for the, you know, for what it's supposed to be good for. It's got a new feature called FuelWise, and it's a piece of kit that's essentially trying to help us fuel better on runs from 90 minutes up to however long, you know, trying to help us avoid the wall, the bonk, whatever you want to call it. And this kind of fueling technology, I guess, has been a bit of a holy grail, and this has sort of taken us one step closer. It's not reading under the skin, it's not looking at blood sugar levels, it's not looking at hydration levels under the skin, but what it does do is it lets you set up smart reminders for fueling over an endurance event. So before your event, you go through a couple of steps, you tell it, you know, how long you're going to run for, you estimate the intensity of the run, and that's based on heart rate zone, so you give it a rough indication, and then you tell it the size of the portion of your fuel in terms of carbs. So for me, that was 20 grams. So, and then it basically spits out the entire amount of carbs you're going to need for that event,
right?
And then the number of feeds, if you want to call it that, that you're going to have throughout that duration. And what it's really useful for looking at preparation, so you can start to think about how many portions you're putting in your backpack, where you're storing them, and, you know, how you're going to eat them. So I got, over the 10 hours that I ran, I had 440 grams of carbs in 22 feeds, so I had portions for that. And then during your run, it uses your heart rate intensity and some of your other information about height, weight, gender, all of that kind of stuff, to estimate when you need to feed. And so other sort of tools like this would normally just give you alerts every 30 minutes. It's a pretty sort of blunt instrument. But this is actually reacting to what you're doing in real time. So the idea is, you know, if you're running harder up a mountain or you're running faster, then the feeds will come quicker because you're burning a higher rate of carbs.
Right.
And it worked. I was really surprised. I didn't expect it to work. I thought, you know, it would essentially just give me every 20 minutes or something. But I did find there were differences between in the periods between my feeds. Specifically when I came in on the run to have a stop at my house, I was sat around for maybe half an hour, and it then elongated the period between my next feed because it spotted that I wasn't doing anything.
Got it.
It was really clever. So it buzzes on your wrist and it says, you know, eat something now. And some of them were 20 minutes, some of them were sort of 30 minutes. Occasionally it was really, it was remarkable that it caught me just as I'd started to get a little pang of hunger. It buzzed, almost like magic.
Did you follow it, Kieran? Were you kind of like, okay, I'm going to follow what it says?
Followed it to the letter, yeah, because I wanted to see, you know, fueling's been one of my, you know, downfalls really in some races. So I find it quite hard to fuel consistently, even though I, you know, I'll basically go with the idea that, you know, you eat little and often. And this really, really worked. Over that 45 miles, I felt well fueled the entire time. Some of the feeds felt a little bit more frequent than I would have eaten normally myself. So sometimes it felt like I was topping up before I would have done if I'd have been left to my own devices. But it worked. And then post-run, you get a report of the fuel sources that you use broken down into fats, carbs and protein, which you can then use to look at for next time. So I think it's a really, really interesting tool. There are a few things I really wished it would have done that it didn't. One of them was I would like it to have made you acknowledge that you'd eaten. So make you press a button to say, I've definitely eaten. The vibration on the wrist is much like a split vibration. And it's very easy, you know, when your head goes long into a race, marathon or an ultra, you might have missed it. And I would have liked to post-run be able to see a report of the times that I actually ate and any feeds that I might have skipped so that next time I can go into it and, you know, run smarter or apply it smarter.
Yeah. That's cool though, isn't it? That's like, it feels like a genuinely new offering from a watch, from what I know of it.
Yeah, and it's only at the moment on the Polar Grit X, which is a new, it's a sort of ultra endurance targeted watch. It's £379, has a few other features that are more tailored to being outdoors, but that was one of the standout features and really helped. So yeah, I think an exciting step forward in terms of stopping us, you know, hitting the wall and messing up our fueling on marathons and ultras.
Kieran, how much is that watch?
So the Grit X is £379, which is, that actually puts it kind of in the, it's mid-range basically. So it's much cheaper than a Fenix 6. It's more kind of along the lines of, it's actually cheaper than the Polar Vantage V. So it's actually quite a keenly priced watch.
A lot of people are kind of coming into running, Kieran, and have you got any tech suggestions for people who maybe are coming into running and want more kind of entry level price stuff?
Yeah, and I mean, it does feel like there's a lot more people out there doing it, and you know, you can obviously get by using an app to track your runs, but if you feel like you're going to be running longer term and you want to upgrade a little bit, there are some really good options, and I've picked kind of three things that I feel like would make a good sort of basic essential runner's kit. There's a watch, a pair of headphones, and then a belt to carry your stuff with you. And the watch that I've gone for is the Garmin Forerunner 35. It's actually a generation older. There is a 45 out now. The 45 is a little bit more expensive. This one comes in at £99, and it's kind of a brilliantly basic run tracking watch with GPS that gives you all the main metrics you need without overloading you with lots of with too much detail. And you get 13 hours of battery life, which is, you know, essentially that's like a week of runs on a single charge. It's nice and lightweight. It has got a bit of a funny square face, so might like that or might not, but it's a really good kind of workhorse for that £99 price tag.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good value, isn't it? And like you say, it seems to offer the kind of essentials, particularly if you're just starting off.
Is the 35 the one that's got wrist heart rate in it?
Yeah, so you get most of the things that you kind of would need out of a watch like that, but just under £100, which is nice. Then, you know, headphones, I guess, you know, most people, or a lot of people, will like to run with a bit of music for motivation, and headphones can be very, very pricey. Now, I've actually picked a pair that, for a couple of different reasons, and then the Aftershocks Trex Air. These are bone conduction headphones, so they work a little bit differently. They use bone conduction to get the sound into your ears rather than plugging into your ears as a normal pair of in-ear headphones would do. Now, I think actually as a beginner runner, there's a lot to be said for being aware of your surroundings as you're running, and these allow you to have kind of an open ear feel where you can hear your audio, but you can also hear what's going on around you, whether that be traffic or nature or whatever.
It's good, mate. It's good. In the start of this podcast, which you weren't privy to, we were lambasting those people running with headphones. So I'm glad that you've said that they're not the in-ear ones.
Yeah. It's nice if you're, particularly if you're going to go out and be part of a community and you want to flick between chatting and running eventually, you know, when we're all allowed to run together, these are a good option for that as well. They're really lightweight. They're race approved, so if you get to the point where you want to run a race, you can use them in a lot of races that don't allow normal headphones. You're pretty much guaranteed a decent fit. Some people have a problem with in-ear headphones dropping out. These hook over the ear and sit on the cheekbones, so none of that. And they come in at £99. You get a 6-hour battery life as well with those, which isn't amazing, but it's good enough if you're, you know, if you're running an hour a day for, you know, during the week. And then the final bit of kit, you know, if you're taking those headphones, you're going to want to carry your phone with you, not only to listen to the music, but also so you've got a way of contacting family should you need. And I'd recommend the Flip Belt Zipper. It's a really, really nice, comfortable belt that has open sort of pockets that almost grip your gear, and you can flip it over inside so that nothing falls out. You can fit all sorts in there. Like, you could fit 4 or 5 gels in there. You can fit a phone, any size phone, cards, headphone cases if you carry them, keys, and you can do all of that without any bounce. There's actually a hook in there for your keys as well, so you can have security that they're not going to fall out on the floor without you realizing. And the belt doesn't cut in, it sits nice and flat, and it's £35. So it's a little bit of an investment, but I've had one for years and it's still going.
Yeah, I think well worth it. A good running belt. One of the things that people might not think of, but actually super useful. They last a really long time, and it's just easy. It's just better to put your keys and gels and stuff in a belt, I think, than pockets, which can feel a bit kind of cumbersome, I think, and also obviously can fall out as well.
There was one final bit, and I did this really quickly, and I'll rattle these off. But I also went out, because I know there's a lot of people on really tight budgets, and I've been trying to make it my mission to find technology that works, that's really cheap. And that means obviously sort of going to Amazon and finding some things that, you know, maybe different brands that you've not heard of before. So I tried a watch called the Runtopia S1. It's a GPS running watch, it's got heart rate, and I was hoping that this £99 watch might be a brilliant entry-level watch for people to use. Unfortunately, it didn't really stack up. The accuracy was way too far off GPS and heart rate, and it wasn't better than a phone app. But I'm trying to find a watch out there for those who want a sort of sub £100 watch. Maybe we'll get one eventually. The other option was I found a pair of bone conducting headphones called Vidon F3. Now, these are £53. They work like Aftershocks. They are not quite as good or comfy as some of the Aftershocks models, but they've got a 7-hour battery life, and for £53, they are, you know, if you're on that kind of budget, they will do a pretty good job. So there's a couple of pieces of tech there that, you know, particularly the F3, I think, are a good option if you're on a much tighter budget.
Do you want to talk about Strava segments, Kieran?
Kieran, anything to do with Strava, we're all ears. So yeah, you wanted to talk something about segments, etiquette, and the elapsed time debate. So, yeah, what's that all about?
Well, I don't know about you. Do you guys actually chase Strava segments?
No.
No, not religiously, no.
Ben, are you a king?
No, I think the only time I've ever really had a King of the Mountains on Strava was just because I was an early adopter. And there just weren't a lot of people on it, and now I'm absolutely not. I think I have everything switched off. I would not have live segments pop up when I'm on my bike or when I'm running. I don't want suddenly to be halfway through a hill and it to tell me that, oh, there's a segment coming up, and you know, because part of me will just go like, quick, you better try harder now because there's a thing. And then the other half of my brain goes, that's stupid, just enjoy being on your bike. So yeah, now I've switched all that stuff off.
Well, I'm now, you know, having spoken about what we spoke about earlier and being free from all of this, I've actually been testing, on one of my runs, I've been testing something, two watches that both have live Strava segments. It's the Polar Grit X, again, up against the Fenix 6. And I never bothered with this before, but it's weirdly got me interested. And I was just wanted to know, really, and this is really a question for the listeners out there, is it okay for me just to walk to a segment and then sprint the segment and then go home?
I think that's poor Strava etiquette.
It has to be all part of the same, because the people will, you know, you can go out for a 4 mile bike ride and warm up for 2 miles, absolutely hammer the one segment for 5 minutes and then go home again, and that's just, you know, that's fine if that's what you want to do with your time, but I feel like it to be worth,
it's not in the spirit of things, Ben, is it?
It's for it to be worth, it's to wear the crown happily. I think it has to be part of the whole effort.
How far do I have to do then before I, or does it have to happen naturally? It just has to be natural, a natural part of my run.
It has to be part of the natural route.
I think so, if
you're going out for a 5K and, you know, halfway through there's a 100 meter segment, that's fine. That can't be helped. But I feel like, basically, when it pops up on your feed and you can see that someone has just gone out for that one purpose of doing it, you can tell quite quickly, I think. To the nuanced Strava eye, I think you can spot it.
Well, then Billy in Emery Down, whose segment I've been trying to take from the gate to the top of to Silver Street, I'm sorry about that. I'll stop.
Right, no, you see, but now you've said it out loud, you've got to go for it.
And then it made me, all of this sort of has also made me think about the whole, I've been following the whole kind of elapsed versus moving time debate and the Ross Barkley.
Oh, the Ross Barkley 5K, yeah.
And we've talked about this before. I'm not a fan of pausing a run mid-run. I think, you know, it's basically you're sort of lying to yourself about what you're doing there. But I'm fascinated by the fact that this has pretty much spawned a whole new event.
We should explain this, shouldn't we? So this is kind of Chelsea and England midfielder Ross Barkley. Chelsea put something out on Twitter that said Ross Barkley's run a 5K in 16 minutes, 23 seconds, I think. And people from the running world thought, hang on a second, that's like, obviously he's a professional athlete, but that's pretty punchy for, like, because it's not exactly specific football or fitness running 5K. And then it transpired that this was about his moving time compared to his elapsed time, right? So, and basically he'd been sprinting and then stopping and had done 5K in total, but it had actually taken him about an hour, I think, if you actually did the overall time. That's kind of it, isn't it?
And then it set off a whole load of people doing loads of investigations into everyone else who had been putting out 5K times. And there's been a whole sort of thing about whether or not people are doing it for real or not. But actually, on top of that, then people have gone out and said, well, okay, well, let's do this for real. And we'll use that as the framework for actually an event, and we'll go and try and beat it. And I'm now fascinated that could this be a new Olympic event when we actually have the Olympics?
Because someone's done about 10 minutes, haven't they? He's done like a 10-minute 5K, taking like 2.5 minutes off, you know, Bikili's incredible record.
So I'm basically going to go sub-2 marathon.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, you're going to have to do probably 100-meter sprints, aren't you, with some rest?
It'll take me a year, and I'm going to have to keep my phone charged and Strava paused during this time, but I will get there, and I'll come back to you when it's done.
Kieran, thanks so much for joining us. My favourite takeaway from that was that it's just great to hear that you're enjoying running so much, but also delivering a slice of tech information for everyone out there. So thanks for that, mate.
Cheers. Thanks for having me on.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. A big thanks to our guest, Kieran Alger, and to you, of course, for listening.
The Runner's World podcast is available on Acast, iTunes, and all your favourite podcast apps. Just search Runner's World UK. If you've enjoyed the episode, please do give us a review and remember to tune in next week.
Hold up. Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.